Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. So glad that you've joined us today. If you're a return visitor to our website for these studies, thank you for returning today. Amen. If you're a brand new listener, we welcome you. You only get to be a brand new listener one time. And then if you come back again, we consider you part of our listening family. If you come back again and again, amen, you're dear, dear parts of this listening family. We're told in the last days, in particular, that we are to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as we see the day approaching. And we should be, as Christians, people in the know. We should understand and know how to interpret the signs of the times in the light of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, our great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So today we want to talk to you and minister on the subject. It's time to wake up the sleeping giant. It is time to wake up the sleeping giant. And you'll understand what we're talking about in a few minutes if you'll stay tuned. I hope you're intrigued by the title. I hope you're informed by the word. I hope you're inspired. Praise God. I hope this wake-up call from God will not go unheeded. But all of us who are true Christians today, and there's a lot of phony things out there, phony Christians, tares among the wheat, phony ministers, false prophets. Friend of mine, this is a time for the true church to wake up and to stand up. And I believe that we're going to hear and we're going to heed what the Spirit says to the church through the Word today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 13. Listen to this message to people who are supposed to be in the know. And because of what we know, not just who we know, but what we know about the signs of the times, about the nearness of the coming of Jesus, about the mandate we have from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Amen. I just want to go on record today saying thank you for the supporters of this ministry, prayerfully, personally, financially, and in every way that anyone has sown into this ministry. You have an investment in every soul that is saved, every Christian that is encouraged, everyone who is blessed through it. You have a personal investment in it, because without you, we just couldn't get this job done. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you from the bottom of our heart. Your words of encouragement, apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Praise God. That's what a word fitly spoken is like. And your words of encouragement have lifted me many times out of the depths of discouragement and near despair. God is faithful, but He uses people. Amen. To show His faithfulness to us. And we thank God for the people that let Him use them to speak words of encouragement, that we might continue this work of the Lord, that we have put our hand to a plow and we have looked back, glanced only, but we have never went back from the call of God in our life. We're getting ready next year to celebrate 50 years of ministry. My son was about 14 months old. My youngest son, my oldest son, is with the Lord now. My youngest son just turned 50 in March. So in March of next year, he was 14 months old. March, April, May of next year will mark 50 years of ministry as President, Director, Pastor, Evangelist of the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. Once again, thank you for coming today. Thank you for standing with us, praying for us, ministering to us down through all of these years. We're going to talk to you once again. It's time to wake up the sleeping giant. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 13. It says, and that knowing the time, you should underscore that, we're not children of the darkness. The scripture teaches that that day should come upon us as the thief. We are children of the light. We should walk in light, therefore, the way we behave and live our life, and we should put on the armor of light. If we're going up against the prince of darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, we need the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God is represented very clearly. Not just each piece is enumerated, but we don't take it piece by peace. We put on the whole armor when we, as the scriptures teach, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And make no provision for the flesh. Glory be to God. Put on, therefore, the armor of light. Praise God. Amen. You know, darkness has never prevailed against the light, but the light has always prevailed and will continue to prevail against the darkness. There's no night so dark that one candle will not dispel the darkness around it. Just think of that song years ago. If everyone lit just one little candle. Hallelujah. What a bright world this would be if every Christian became what God has destined us to become. And that is the light of the world. No man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. It's time for the secret agent Christians to come out of the closet and declare that we are 100% identified with and standing with Jesus Christ today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get in this. I can't hardly get in it for the excitement of living in a time when the darkness is so dark. But if the sleeping giant stands up, hallelujah, we're going to see a mighty revival here in the last days that's going to sweep many thousands of souls into the kingdom of God, into the safe keeping of Christ just before the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Looks like we're losing ground. The statistics tell the truth about the organized church. I'm not talking about a denomination that is compromised, an organization that's no longer representative of as many people. I'm not talking even about how many people are attending church. I'm telling you, when this giant stands up and wakes up and stands up, all of that is going to change for the true church, the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We're supposed to be in the know, and that knowing the time, that now, right in this time, right in this moment, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. When we believe, we became saved. This salvation is talking about our total and complete deliverance from the power, the presence of Satan and the power of sin and literally the culture around us, the coming of the Lord to redeem both the living and those who have died in Christ, to bring us from the grave if we've died in Christ, and wake us from the grave of dead works if we are living today. We're going to be caught up with Jesus when he comes and the trumpet sounds. There's a trumpet sounding right now. Amen. And it is this call to wake up and stand up for Jesus Christ. Become true followers of God. Listen to it carefully. And that knowing the time, that now, not next month, next week, next year, some date out in the future, but now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And this is how we walk that out, and this is what's going to occur when we wake up and respond to God's wake-up call. Hallelujah. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. What did Jesus say about that? Chambering and wantonness and riotous drunkenness. He said the cares of this life would literally choke the word and cause it to become unfruitful. Amen. He said to beware of surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief, for as a snare it will come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. Just getting so busy living our life without hearing and heeding His call to wake up to the nearness of His coming and wake up to His mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. What Romans 13 is addressing is how to be stripped of all the artificial stuff in our Christian lives, that we may experience the power and victory of truly following Jesus, and that the world may see the genuineness of our faith. Amen. That's why we're to walk, not in rioting, not in drunkenness. It's not just being inebriated with alcohol. It's not just being drunk on some kind of alcoholic beverage. It's literally being drunk on materialism and drunk on all of the things that will titillate our flesh to where we are numbed to the reality that we are aliens living in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are here as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible said, I beseech you as strangers and aliens to abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul. It's time to wake up the sleeping giant. Amen. When Admiral Yamamoto, commander of the attack on Pearl Harbor, saw the pilots returning, drinking sake, and celebrating such a great victory, he remained somber. This is in his own memoirs. He remained somber. And when asked why he wasn't celebrating like everyone else, he said, this war is not over. It is just beginning. I'm afraid that we have awakened a sleeping giant. Friend of mine, I submit to you today that the true church, the genuine body of Christ, not the denomination nor the organization, but the truly redeemed and righteous followers of Jesus, will hear God's wake-up call and will respond accordingly. A spiritual awakening results in a true revival. Amen. You don't get a revival before you wake up. Amen. You got to wake up in order to have a true revival. But when we do wake up, God is going to move in and through us and behalf of us. For the gospel of the kingdom of God is a powerful gospel that declares the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we receive Him as our absolute Lord and Savior, I believe we can expect to see God move like we have not seen Him move in many, many years. Or as one preacher put it, we should be expecting things to happen amongst us which have no other explanation than being an inbreak of God's kingdom. True revival begins with spiritual awakening. Therefore, there will be an inbreaking of the kingdom in the church. Without an inbreaking of the kingdom in our hearts, That will never occur. Amen. Listen, we need to experience the total lordship of Jesus, not just in words or mouthing that, but a true acceptance of His lordship that we might have the Holy Spirit's leadership in our lives, so that we can express the power and glory of His kingdom to a gainsaying world about us. A.W. Tozer was never known to mince words. And this is some years ago. See if it doesn't apply even more now than then. This is what he said. He said, what we see in many Christian circles today is a quasi-Christianity. And it is achieving acceptance by compromise. It is dickering with the unregenerate world for acceptance, and as someone said recently, it is offering Christ at bargain prices to win customers. The total result is a conglomerate religious mess that cannot but make the reverent Christian sick at heart. Friend of mine, a true spiritual awakening will open the door for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives. Here in Romans 13, verse 11 through 13, we have the prescription for a spiritual awakening. Listen to it carefully. Number one, we need to wise up. We need to wise up. I've said it many times. I love the humorous story of the little boy going to church with his daddy, standing up in the pew at attention when they sang the great Christian hymn, "Rise up, O men of God, be done with earthly things." He couldn't pronounce his words very well. So this little child sung out at the top of his lungs, "Wise up, O men of God." Listen, we need the wisdom to understand, appreciate, and appropriate the times that we are living in. We need a clear understanding of the times. These are the last times, the last days. We should live our lives with a sense of alertness and a sense of urgency. I like the Amplified. It says, you know what a critical hour this is. And one paraphrase says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. We're literally told to redeem the time because the days are evil, not to be timid and not to be tepid, but to be on fire for God in these days, not to be like the turtle that sees all the chaos and all of the opposition and persecution and people running from the light instead of to the light. Oh, friend, but there are those that will come if we rise up and stand up, stand up, stand up. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:10-14 and verse 17 and 18. Listen to it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, Here's the challenge. Here is the call of God. Listen, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is not just how we talk conversation. This is our behavior. This is our value system. This is our lifestyle. This is our view, not a world view, but a kingdom view, an understanding of where we are prophetically and who we are personally as Christians, and what should be our purpose in life in light of the soon coming of Jesus. Listen to verse 12, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now 17 and 18, just for time's sake, listen. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware. Here's the warning. Lest also, being led away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Are you being stirred today? Are you being challenged by the Word of God? Is the anointing of God touching your heart and your life? Are you hearing the call of God? Every preacher in a pulpit that is a true man, woman of God, person of God should be crying out. As the Bible says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Lift up thy voice and spare not and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Oh, why should we worry about sins? Because sins get in the way. Listen, friend, God said this. He said, my ear to ancient Israel, to us today, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. My hand is not short that it cannot save. But your sins have separated between you and your God. All of these prayers that are offered without sin being dealt with in our hearts and in our lives are barriers to the blessing that we need, to the mighty move of God. Because when the Holy Spirit is grieved, and when the Holy Spirit therefore is quenched, then all we have left is our programs, all we have left is our ingenuity, our trying to use all kinds of psychological and means to attract people to church. And the idea is we'll get them in by hook or crook, and once we get them in, maybe we can lead them to Jesus. Honey, it don't work that way. That's not an awakening. That is not a revival. No conviction on that audience. There will be no true conversion. There will be no one truly come to Christ. Oh, the numbers will be up. The finances will be up. But people will still be lost and on their way to hell. But when real conviction comes and people truly repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Savior, because the Father draws them, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit convicts them. Listen, when that occurs, amen, these people will walk out of the church, and they won't walk out of the church house to the ale house. They won't walk out of the church house to the gambling house. They won't walk out of the church house to the house of ill repute. They won't walk out of the church house, amen, into the world, the same people, because they will be new creations, new creatures, because they will be baptized into Christ after they are forgiven, and they will become a new creation. Old things will have passed away and everything will become new. They will be in a process of progressive sanctification, but they will immediately be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and set apart unto Him. Glory to God. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever. Seeing that we know we need the wisdom to understand how to use that knowledge to be about our Father's business, to travel light, and to not let the culture begin to affect us and infect us with the worldview that is so prevalent in all of the world today. Oh, but we keep our eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. So we need to wise up and heed the call of God to wake up. Second, we need to wake up and knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, literally to rouse to reality in the Amplified. Someone has said the devil's never too busy to rock the cradle of a sleeping saint. Someone else has said, get the polar bear out of the pulpit and you can melt the ice cubes out of the pew. Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know that I don't want to be part today of the frozen chosen. I want to be alert. I want to be attentive to the Word of God. I want to be responsive to the call of God through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. Listen to Ephesians 5:14-18. It's time for the sleeping giant to wake up. I believe the church is the sleeping giant. The true church is the sleeping giant. Not the organization, not the denomination, but truly born again, washed in the blood Christians who are truly denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Christ. The real church. Hallelujah. The remnant. Oh, yes, we are not the majority. We are the minority. But a little leaven can leaven a whole lump. That's first taught in the negative sense of wickedness getting in and having an effect on the whole. Sinfulness getting in, have an effect on the whole. But if that's true of sinfulness and wickedness, it could be also and should be also true that principle of righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. We can have a powerful, positive effect on this sin-filled, sinful world today. But we have to get cleaned up and wake up and wise up. Hallelujah. Listen to the word here. In Ephesians 5:14-18, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly. That's an unusual word that we don't commonly use. It means watchful on all sides. This is no time to be dozing off, sleeping at the wheel. This is a time, amen, to be wide awake to the times that we're living in, wide awake to the fact that Jesus' coming is very, very soon, wide awake to every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus with whoever will listen. Amen. To lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, and to raise our heads and look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Amen. In order that we might pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into the field. And when we ask him to send laborers, to volunteer and say, here am I. Send me. He may not send you to a missionary work in some foreign country. He might send you to your community. He might send you to your school, to your college, to your family. He might send you to your neighbor across the street. He might send you to the people when you pick up your cleaning, when you go in to get your groceries at the grocery store and check out. But you are available unto him. Hallelujah. And God is going to use every vessel that will sanctify themselves unto him for this purpose. He said, listen, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, the scriptures teach, let them flee from iniquity. Let them put away sinfulness in their life. For in a great house there's many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor, some of gold and silver, some of clay and hay and stubble. But he said, if you will flee youthful lust and separate yourself from these, you will be vessels of honor, meet for the master's use. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says very carefully here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wise up, O men of God, women of God, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That means buying up the time, literally, using the time that we have, using it efficiently, effectively, not wasting precious time. Scripture said we're to work while it's day, for the night approaches, the night cometh when no man shall work. We have this window of opportunity, and we have it right now when the world is so helpless and hopeless to deal with all of the things that are occurring simultaneously, globally, around the world, and personally in everyone's life. We have the only message of hope that there is. The scientists can't give it to us. The philosophers can't give it to us. The educational professors can't give it to us. The think tanks can't figure it out, because a sign of the last days is distress of nations with perplexity, with puzzlement. That's a good thing for the evangelist. That's a good thing for evangelism, because the world is ripe for hope that the world can't give them, but God offers them. And we can share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the good news of His kingdom, redeeming the time. Carpe, what is the word? Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Carpe dia, carpe dios, redeeming the time. Listen. Using the time. Seize the day. Seize the day. Seize the day. Hey man, this is the day that we need to wake up. Not next week, not next year, not next month, but today is the day. This holy moment, someone right now, God is stirring to an awareness, a new awareness of our place and purpose in these last days. Friend, we are in the kingdom for a time such as this. I don't believe we can hardly separate anymore. I can't separate the teaching from the preaching from the teaching. They're overlapping. I can't just flip the switch off of the sense of urgency and say, now let's see if we can figure out, something that is in the peripheral. It's in the Word, it's in the Bible, but it has little to do with that will stimulate a spiritual awakening. I don't have time for a class on some social issue or some other issue other than true revival. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, I will heal and their land. Hallelujah. It begins with us waking up for our need for cleansing, for forgiveness. And we repent of our sin and make ourselves available, a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use. You see, this is God's wake-up call, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is God's wake-up call to the church. If we respond to His call, His light, He will flood the darkness with us as light in the world. His life will counter the deadness. We will wise up and we will wake up. And we will be filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about, maybe you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and of course the Spirit of God came in the day you came to Christ, and then maybe you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about right here and right now, allowing that is in you, out of your belly, your innermost being and mine, shall flow rivers of living water. That is spiritual awakening. And that is the result of spiritual awakening. Praise God. We will be wise. We will wise up and we will wake up. And be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Remember when people wanted everything. God had to give them everything He purposed for them so they could be pleasing to Him. And so many people were seeking God. Amen. And that's the key to revival, isn't it? Seeking Him until He come. not just seeking Him until we're done in a gnat's eyebrow of 12. If the Holy Spirit is moving, you need to forget about where Mickey's hand is on your watch. Amen. Why do I think you're wearing a Mickey Mouse watch? Because that is a childish attitude to those who are supposed to be spiritual warriors, able to effectively wage war against the powers of darkness in this generation. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. Casting down imaginations. Amen. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Amen. And every imagination into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Jesus. Glory to God. Friend of mine, our time is almost gone. In fact, our time is gone, and I just feel like we're just getting started in this message today. Amen. But I want you to know that if we heed the wake-up call, the sleeping giant will wake up. Truly, I believe the devil has overplayed his hand in this respect, that he has pushed so hard to make the world so dark, so wicked. I believe true Christians are being stirred in their soul to wake up, wise up, stand up, hallelujah, and be counted for Jesus Christ like never, ever before. For truly, these are the last of the last days. Truly, Jesus is coming very, very soon. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible said you're a child of the darkness. You're a child of the darkness. And that darkness will continue to blind you. In fact, the Prince of Darkness, the God little g of this world, Satan, the devil, said the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. The Greek word is tefluo, and it means to obscure. It's like a smoked bottle that we see through darkly. To obscure from view eternity, the necessity for a Savior, and the Savior that is more than we need, Jesus Christ. Lest they would see what? The glory, the opportunity of being saved and being safe from the wrath to come. Dear friend of mine, I believe God is stirring you today. I believe the scales are falling from your eyes. I believe that you are waking up from a deep, deep sleep that threatens your soul for eternity. Now, I believe you're going to come to Christ. I believe you're going to run to Christ. I believe that you're going to repent of your sins, as we all have, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And the moment you do, you're going to put on the armor of light. And that prison of darkness can't hold you no more. Those shackles are going to fall off. That door's going to burst open, and you're going to walk free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is the real deal today. Come and be saved in Jesus' name.